Mike Malefsky here, and it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Eric Wyatt. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Mike.
So you're coming off a pretty interesting event that occurred on Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. And this was a gathering of a wide variety of people, not only from representing the borough, but also the municipality of Anchorage, and a range of other people, all who appeared to be smart.
Well, I hope I fit in that category.
I put it that way because the title of the event the morning was Smart Communities.
Uh-huh.
And as we start out talking a little bit about what's happening in the borough, mm-hmm. I thought it would be worthwhile to just maybe summarize the event that occurred, mm-hmm. why it happened, why all those people were willing to spend the morning, and what came of it.
Okay, so the topic was or is Smart Communities, also known as Smart Cities, Smart Government. And it's a concept that's been sweeping the nation, but not just our nation, but really the world. This is being done in a number of cities across the world. And the idea is, how do we communicate with our citizens better? How do we plan better communities? How do we provide better services? How does government serve its citizenry better? And how do we make better places to live? And that's been wrapped in a term called Smart Communities.
Okay.
And it can mean a number of things to different things to different people. And all of them are correct. It could mean better transportation. Yeah, that's correct. It could mean not having to drive from Talkeetna to Palmer to do business with the borough. Yeah, that's correct too.
Okay.
It could mean I need to report a pothole in front of my home, and I want to take a picture of it with my smartphone and let the borough know that there's a pothole here, where it is, and then it needs to get fixed. And I don't necessarily have to call somebody. I don't have to go down to the borough building to tell them about it. I don't have to wait till they discover it on their own. Yeah, that's Smart Communities too. It could be sensors of traffic patterns, so we know which roads are getting hit the hardest and where we need to think about expanding from two-lane to four-lane, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It could be I'm moving into a community, and where should I live if I want safe neighborhoods? So maybe I want to see some crime statistics. I want high-speed telecommunications because I like to surf the internet.
Sure.
I want to have gas to heat my home. I want to have electric as opposed to a generator. I want to be near a school. I want to be near a hospital. So whatever my needs are in terms of where I want to live, I want to be able to go find that information quickly and make those decisions. I'm an old Air Force guy, and I used to be in command and control, and I kind of liken this to command and control. And to me, a smart community means putting the right information in front of the right people at the right time to make the right decisions. And who are those right people? Well, it's all of us. We all have different needs for information, and we all want to see it at different times, and we all want to use it to make different kinds of decisions. And so the concept of smart communities is figuring out how to do that. And so that's why that's what this gathering was about. This has gained a lot of attention in a lot of places for quite a while now, mm-hmm. and it's come to Alaska. And so I believe that the reason that the people chose to spend their time at this meeting yesterday is because this is a concept that is now becoming very well known. People are hearing about it. They like it, and they're starting to demand it. And so this group, primarily the focus of this group was to bring together public sector people. So as you mentioned, there's people from the borough, people from the muni, the state, from education. And we come together to provide a nucleus for this kind of activity. So we come together and we say, what resources do we have? What tools do we have? What technologies do we have that we can provide a foundation for this smart communities? So we're not necessarily saying this is the kind of information that's going to be put out or collected. We're saying here's the kind of tools that we can make available that can collect whatever kind of information you want to collect.
Right.
Or display any kind of information you want to display. You can display it geospatially, or you can display it in tabular mode, or whatever suits your needs. And so, again, why were people there willing to spend their time? Is because these concepts make sense for the way we want to live and work and going forward. These things are being demanded. And so if we are going to serve our public, this is the way we need to serve our public. We need to come together. I gave a bit of a presentation of why am I here today. So I took time out of my day to not only organize the event, but be there.
Right.
I have a responsibility to my borough and to the citizens of the borough to provide IT services. I'm going to do that better if I cooperate with the other government agencies in Alaska and learn lessons learned from the other agencies around the nation and around the globe. If I try to do it on my own, I might come up with a couple of good ideas, but I'm not going to be nearly as smart as if I learn from the behavior of other people and learn the lessons learned that they have done. So largely, I'm following a roadmap from what others have done. I'm trying to learn from them. I'm trying to share what I know. And I believe that as you saw yesterday, was the reason a number of people were there for the same purpose. I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it better if I collaborate with the rest of the people in the room.
And I know that you're the director of... give us your title exactly.
I'm the Information Technology Director at the borough.
Yeah. And under that hat sits a place called GIS. Mm-hmm. It's actually a location over in the borough. I know where it is. Been there, and people work there. For the listener who is not, and maybe has heard the term GIS, but really doesn't know what that means, what does mm-hmm. that mean? Because it was a very important foundation for what was discussed yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. So GIS, I think more traditionally, was geospatial information science, okay? Mostly today it's referred to as geospatial information systems, okay? But it's the idea of mapping. It's a cartography, cadastral. So it's maps and plotting information on maps. So my GIS division within my department there, they exist to make maps for the borough.
And that seems like... sort of simple, people have probably been familiar with maps. What's mm-hmm. so special about this?
About our new initiatives?
Yeah, well, more the kind of mapping that happens and how it is smart mapping. I'll use that term.
Smart mapping, okay. What's one of our primary responsibilities in the borough for my GIS department is we do land management for the borough. So that's one of our responsibilities. So you have a piece of property, you have a home in the borough here, and your property is referred to as a parcel, and you want to know where your lot lines are. So the borough maintains very accurate information about where those lot lines exist. To get to get services to your property, be that electric or water or gas, they need to run along roadways, and where roadways don't exist, they might run across private property, so we have to have easements. And so our GIS department maintains all of that kind of information. And so this was all done, you know, over the years, this has been done, and it was done on paper, and it was done by going out and walking the land and maybe putting up a few flags and putting up fences, and this is the way it has evolved for years and years. And now we have technology that allows us to very accurately place where these parcel lines exist, where the corner boundaries exist, and so forth. And so what's special about this department is we can very accurately maintain this information. And then not only do we have that kind of information, but we can take lots of other information that has a geospatial element to it, and we can do mashups or layers. So I layer in our parcel boundaries, I layer in our roads, our utilities, I can layer in demographic information, we can look at people that live in the borough and work in the borough, and we can compare that to people that work in Anchorage, and we can see, is there any correlation to where people live if they're working in Anchorage, for instance. This kind of technology now is being used for other smart purposes mm-hmm. as well. And that is, the hospital collects data and they say, oh, you've got the croup and where do you live? And if we start to see that, hey, look at all these people have this particular flu or illness in this area, well, what else is going on in that area that might cause these people to get that illness more so than others? We might have hearing loss and an airport correlation.
Sure.
Or any of these kinds of things. So Smart Communities is using GIS to make geospatial references to make correlations of why things are happening in one place as opposed to another.
And I was struck also, since I attended the sessions, mm-hmm. By people raising and dealing with in the issue of privacy, that this is intended to be a collection of services that's available to individuals in the community or groups that are planning some development or whatever. And it's not a discussion leading to the government having this information, and you actually are empowering, as I understood, individuals to be able to access the information with some reasonable safeguards about privacy as well. Because there has been a concern in the past that too much information is being gathered about individuals. How do you deal with that in this whole process?
Well, that's actually one of the very large issues that we have to deal with this. It's very important to us. We as a government do collect a lot of information, and there's a lot of information on individuals. And people are concerned about having too much information about themselves being out. So we do have to deal with that. We also have to understand that the laws are such that a lot of this information that we collect is public information. So that means you can walk over to the Borough Building and ask for this information, and somebody will go to the printer and print out some information and hand it to anybody in the public, because this is public domain information.
Okay.
The public has paid for this information so that they own it.
Right. So what you're doing is facilitating the access to information that is already available in one sense.
Yes. And so now when we start to expose information in this way, you can gather information much more quickly, and you might be able to gather more information about an individual more quickly than you would have otherwise. So people get concerned about that. Mm-hmm. So we have to follow laws. We have to follow privacy laws. So there is certain types of information like Social Security number information, HIPAA laws that safeguard medical files and things like that.
Right.
Obviously, we have to follow all of those laws. But then we also have to be sensitive to the fact that you, the citizens, have paid for this. This is your information. All we're doing is providing access to it. So we have to strike a balance there. We, again, going to school on what other communities have done. Mm-hmm. We look at the policies that other communities have done, the laws that they've looked at, and the policies they've come up with about releasing information. So we will be careful to not give out sensitive information. Certainly anything that violates the law, we won't give that information out. But we also want to make sure that the public gets what they have already purchased. And you mentioned empowerment. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The idea is by getting this information in the hands of smart people in the community, they can look at this and figure out ways to make their community better. And it's not up to just the planners and other people within the government to figure out everything. You know, we are a self-governing people.
Sure.
So we put that information out in the hands of the governed and let them make the decisions and let them tell us where services need to be, where roads need to be, where communities need to be, new subdivisions, whatever it happens to be. If you want to open a new business, you can look at the demographic information in your community and figure out what's the best place, what's the best street corner for me to put my business on if I want to have the best customer base
sure.
passing by my facility.
So the working groups that will extend the discussion into some action out of this event, for the listener who is saying, Well, this sounds very good. What am I likely to see in the next year that would show me that progress is being made and I have better access, et cetera? So we have whatever exists at the present time, and it's considerable. And I would invite listeners to check out what they can get now to get a baseline. Mm-hmm. But over the next year, say, what is your sense of change that will improve this kind of access?
We had an example of that yesterday. And this has been done by the municipality in Anchorage and some folks there. So as an example, many of us in the Valley work in Anchorage. And so transportation is of big concern.
Right.
And people drive in individually, and it's stressful, and it's costly, and time-consuming. So we've looked for other avenues, buses and ride-sharing and vans and bicycles and probably dog sleds.
Right.
So whatever people have decided to do to help their commute in and out of Anchorage, they have in the past, and I was a member of this community for a while, is you've gone to different websites and you've looked at the vans and you've looked at the buses and you've looked at individuals that are looking for rideshare. And you've gotten on Facebook, and you've gotten in this group, and you've tried sure. to make these connections, or you've talked to people at work, and you've decided to carpool. And one of the applications that is now a web-based application that was developed in Anchorage was to take all of those different sites and put them on one site. So you could go to one location, put in your starting address, put in your destination address, and it would come back with a variety of options for you that go out to all the different websites, collect the information on that, and bring it back. So one of the things that the public can expect to see in the next year is more of that kind of thing, as we're taking information, grouping it into information that is all about a particular topic that larger groups of people have a concern about, making it easy and accessible on one page, maybe on one web page, maybe on your phone. You're going to see a lot of mobile applications. And so within the next year, you'll be able to go to the borough website and see all of the borough applications that you can download.
Okay.
And so you'll download a borough app on your phone, and one of those apps is going to be a pothole app. So when you drive out your driveway in the morning, there's a hole, you pull your phone out, you open the app, you take a picture, and boom, you're done. It's been reported to the borough. One that we worked on last week, we call it the trash app. And actually, this is very important to our people, especially like myself. If you live down at the end of a road, people drive down the end of the road and they throw their trash out on borough or state property.
Right.
And so I can take my phone out. I can take a picture of that bag of trash. It geolocates the picture.
Magic.
Sends it to the borough. The borough now knows about this bag of trash or abandoned vehicle. We can extend that to stray dogs and cats, to potholes, to any of these kinds of things that you would normally want to report to the government to come out and take care of. And it's also going to streamline our processes within government. We're going to make government more efficient, because not only did we get that information more efficiently, we don't have to drive out to find the location to see if it's on borough property or not. We've already geolocated it, so we know where it is. And if it's not on borough property, it's on state property. Well, I can electronically transfer that information to the state and let them go take care of it, where before there would be a manual process to pass that information along.
Those are great examples. Mike Malevsky here, and I'm talking with Eric Wyatt from the borough, and we've been discussing an event that occurred here recently with a gathering of people from all over the area in a variety of different places, the municipality of Anchorage and the borough and beyond. So this sounds very good. I'm impressed. Very often in these days, we're hearing people talk about, oh, money. So, and as you've been describing the examples, I'm picking up that there are significant savings to be made if you're not sending someone out to check something of this sort and in this way. But there have been some costs associated with the developing, obviously, the GIS systems and so on. Is this a front cost that is now will continue to occur? So net is what I'm looking for. What went into creating all of this, and what are the savings? Has someone done the calculations, the projections of what that might be?
Okay. We don't have, I wouldn't say the good calculations of the net, but again, going to school on the communities that have done this and seeing the same types of cost savings that they have realized because of these things, we know that we will become more efficient and more cost effective in the long run. So in saying that, first of all, I have a significant investment in GIS systems already. Sure. And right. Other kinds of systems. So we've got some sunk costs, but what we're learning to do is use our tools more effectively, one thing.
Okay.
Then we start to make our government work more efficiently by putting these tools in their hands. We get our public able to participate in their government more efficiently. So that cost savings is a little harder to calculate.
Well,
but
sure.
But if you don't have to drive from Talkeetna to Palmer, there's a cost savings.
Oh, absolutely.
So we are going to have cost savings to our citizens. We're going to have cost savings within the borough. And part of the initiative is also to help people make better decisions and to thrive and to have better businesses. So one result that comes out of this is more efficient business, more business, and, you know, more business, more people living in the community raises the tax base as well, which should lower the individual cost of providing these services. So there's a significant return on investment, and I'm sorry I don't have hard numbers for you today, but as we are looking at hard numbers of how our budget is being reduced, it may seem counterintuitive to be spending money on something new like this, but we're not going to get more people in the borough, right, anytime soon. We're not going to add more employees, and yet our public wants the same level of service or better. So our people within the borough must work more efficiently. We must be smarter. So by adding tools like this, we will literally be able to do more with less. I always hated that term in the past. We're going to do more with less. No, you're not. You're going to do less with less. But with this kind of technology, we can turn more with less from a slogan to a reality.
Okay.
And we're going to see it. That's what we can expect in the next year.
And another term that has been thrown about a lot refers to public-private partnerships. And I was just thinking as you were talking, it's not so much a partnership as a public-private involvement, so that as a private individual, your relationship to the government changes.
Yes.
We used the term earlier, empowerment. And what I'm beginning to see is something that says one of the hurdles that people have described when dealing with government in general is the difficulty of talking to someone or getting to the information. And what you've been describing is a way for a private individual to do that 24/7, essentially.
Yes.
And not be having to learn how to jump over the hurdle.
Right.
Or wait.
Or wait, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Well, you know, and there's one other thing that I want to kind of wrap a couple of these concepts together. Why were the people in the room yesterday, and what are the cost savings? Because we had quite a bit of conversation around this as well. So I'm doing some things, and the Muni of Anchorage is doing some things, and the state is doing some things, and we're duplicating efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the conversation yesterday was, why are we doing all this duplication? What if the state did this for all of us, and the borough does this for all of us, and the Muni does this for all of us? So we can take some of these tasks and split them up, and then we can all capitalize on the work that has been done in the other area. So we can stretch our dollars much further by doing that. If the Muni says, hey, I'm going to stand up this kind of server, and isn't this great? And the borough says, hey, I'm going to do that too, and I put all that same investment in. Well, I just duplicated that effort, when in reality, I probably don't need to duplicate it if I can just piggyback on theirs. And then I can go off and do something that they piggyback on. So as part of this discussion yesterday, we actually had some smaller groups that we talked about quite a bit of that. And so there again, we're doing better with our tax dollars. We are saving money, and we're not duplicating effort from community to community.
Okay. Nicely put. Mm-hmm. Well, we've just about run out of time, so I want to thank you again, Eric, for coming in and talking about something that I think is going to impact every resident in the borough, has already begun impacting people's lives, but will continue to do as you've described it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Have a good day.
All right.